Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. And I'm so excited today that we have Les Jensen, who's got a really interesting story about how he came to his healing and the healing that he's bringing to the world right now. And he had a really interesting roundabout way coming into this work by beginning his life as an engineer in broadcast television and working on these really super highly powerful television transmitters and dealing directly with that immense amounts of energy that comes through those transmitters taught him how to understand the flow of energy in his own life. And put on top of that, he went through some really, you know, interesting and difficult mental and emotional struggles. He found a way to really turn his attention and energy into his own subconscious and working through his personal karmas. And as he worked with his own energy and kind of cleaning out all of the thoughts and feelings that weren't really serving him, he discovered at the core of himself this beautiful, what he calls purity, located at the core of his being. And that has enabled him to sort of step into this part of him that's really about the light, the inner light within himself. And since then, he's been there living in the light and loving from that place. I think it's a really cool story that he has. So I'm super excited to talk to him. And he has published several books. And he also has the New Human Living, which is a platform that promotes personal empowerment. And he also has a radio show, New Human Living Radio. And I've got in my hands here a copy of his latest book called Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior. And welcome to the show, Les. I'm so happy to talk about your book.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so delighted to be here, Lisa.
So tell us a little bit about your journey. I think your story is so interesting. How did you go from being a television engineer to writing a book about sinners, saviors, love, God, energy? How did that happen?
Quite unintentionally to my ego mind and quite intentionally to my soul. I didn't have an inkling of spirituality in my conscious mind for the first several decades of my life. And I was working in broadcast television as an engineer. And it was curious because that part of my life path didn't seem to have any information for me personally, if you know what I mean. It was like this really big-ass transmitter in Colorado. It's up on top of a mountain. And very high-powered electricity comes in. And through grace, if you're graceful, if you meet the electricity on its own terms, you can convert that power into a signal where millions of people watch television. But a million watts will melt the transmitter in a fraction of a second. So that exact same power can be very violent and chaotic. And so working with it, I didn't go through formal education. I'm pretty much self-educated. And I was standing at a very young age, I'm standing in front of one of these transmitters going, wait a minute, what is happening inside this box that converts electricity to a picture? And it took me many years. I'd go to classes at some PhD, I'd put a lot of ink on the board, and I'd say, okay, I understand what you're saying. And then I go stand in front of it. I'm like, meh, there's something else going on here. Fast forward to when I was 35, I had my own epiphany, and unexpectedly, personal struggles had put me on a psychiatrist's couch. And the psychiatrist kept bringing up anger. I'm like, what the hell does anger have to do with this? I'm not an angry guy. I don't show anger. I don't feel anger. Why are we talking about anger? And in the moments before this event, had you asked me, who are you, what are you going to do with your life? I'd say, I'm Les Jensen, I'm a TV engineer. And that's it, period. But he puts out his hand, he says, come on, show me your anger. I'm like, this is pointless. I push on his hand and just sink in the overstuffed couch. He kind of gets up in my face. He says, look, it's okay for you to show me your anger. In fact, I want to see it. This is a safe place. Would you please show me your anger? And I tell you what, Lisa, in that moment, my entire life changed. And it took me several years to understand how much it changed, because in that moment, some magical valve inside my subconscious opened up. And just like turning on a transmitter, an immense amount of energy starts flowing out of my body. An immense amount of energy is flowing through and out my body. And I remember going, who the hell are you? And the anger was like, I don't care. I'm whoever you want me to be. It was so impersonal. The anger did not care my reaction to it. But the engineer brain said, now, wait a minute, stop. What just happened? Where did all this flipping energy come from? And how come I didn't know about it? And so I started looking consciously. I started with my consciousness looking inside my own psyche. And this is like more than 20 years ago. And I found oceans of unresolved emotions, beliefs, thoughts, feelings. And the more I learned to resolve them and release them and purify my persona, my life kept changing and changing and changing to a point where I want to be as pure as I can. And I understand the value of that is immense. That my purity and my power are directly related. I hope that kind of sets the stage.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I'm wondering, like, how did you do that? Did you have like a particular method that you use to purify, you know, the ego? Or, you know, it's such a, I think, a beautiful common experience that people who do a deep dive into their spirituality find themselves in, you know? And so there's so many different ways to do it. We can go to therapy. We can do energy work. We can, you know, study religion. There's lots of different ways. But I'm curious about how did you purify yourself?
Well, I started developing a habit of working on myself, and I describe that process in my book, Personal Power Fundamentals. I call it the conscious body scan, but. When I first went to clean up my psyche, my subconscious, if you will, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. There's a lot of loose energy to release. And I certainly got to it, and I revisited anger and over again. And now anger for me, it's not like our emotions disappear, but before anger came even into my conscious mind, I had a subconscious behavior of suppressing it before it came into my conscious mind. And now when I feel anger, it's fuel. It's like raw rocket fuel. It's like this is not acceptable. And I let the anger flow through me as like a motivational energy that gives me raw power, if you will. It's a metamorphosis of my relationship with the unresolved anger. But I tell you what, there's the low-hanging fruit, and then there's this really subtle energy in our psyche. And I can only speak for myself, but a lot of my subconscious that has an immense amount of power to be released is so subtle. I'm thinking it's been there for many lifetimes. And so when I go look for it, I don't see it directly. It's not like, oh, there it is. It's more like, what's this denseness that's been there forever? I mean, I know what clarity feels like, and I get this whiff of this, a denser energy in my psyche. And the denser it is, the more energy it's holding. And some of it's like concrete or steel or solid granite. And that's pay dirt when it comes to really getting some traction. I mean, there's so many modalities that talk about frequency and energy, and that's really cool. That's very cool. But power, how much energetic power is stored in the elements that I want to work with today? How much raw power? Because in truth, we're divine beings. The truth of us is we are powerful beyond measure, millions and billions and trillions of watts, if I were to use an electrical relationship. Billions and trillions of watts of power is our natural state. But in order to go through the archetypes of being a slave or being homeless or being feeling powerless, we had to do something with all that immense power, and we compressed it into our subconscious. And that's the pay dirt, that's the path back to purity. And I suggest the difference between the homeless guy on the corner and Jesus is the density or purity of their personal energy persona.
That's so interesting. And I love it how you talk in your book about the divine spark, you know, and that we're all divine beings. And it sounds like the process that you've done and now that you help other people do help us release those dense parts. And that's also, as an energy worker, how I experience them in people's energy field.
Sure.
As we release them, you know, and I love what you said about power too. I think that's very cool. It's a really great way to look at it. And it sounds to me like you feel that you experience it as really divine power.
Yes. It's the only power that exists in the universe.
Yeah.
There's no power outside of divinity. It would suggest the universe has two sources of power, and it doesn't.
Right. It's very cool. So I was really interested to read your book, because this week I was having, I see about 20 clients a week in my private practice, and I was having a lot of people that with just an extraordinary level of suffering coming in and to seek treatment, you know, and I was having yet again the conversation in my head about suffering. Why do we suffer? And one of my clients said, why do we suffer? Ask me. And, you know, I have my own sort of thoughts about why, but it felt sort of like a little divine timing that I should get your book, which is about suffering and how we can transmute suffering. I would love you to answer that question for me. Like, why do we suffer?
Our souls chose to go to the edge of darkness. On this planet, I suggest to you, this chapter of our human story is an exceptional time to be alive. Our souls chose to load our subconscious up with karma so completely that we're running on fumes. On this planet, you can find a homeless vet, and that there's such little divine life energy flowing in them. If they get a cold tonight, they'll die. I mean, it's almost like the totality of their divine potential has been pushed into their subconscious. So, I could take a couple hours to answer this question, but I'm going to go really terse but mean every word I say. In the last hundreds of thousands of years has been a dark age of sorts, and on this planet, very brave souls chose to go to the very edge of darkness, to surrender all of the power, to even disconnect from source consciousness. We did this as a very, very bold act to understand the totality of what love is. We understand light and love on this planet better than perhaps anywhere, because even a whiff of light can change our personal condition. Whereas if we lived on a planet full of Jesuses and the light changed by 500,000 watts, nobody would care because everybody's trillions of watts. But 500,000 watts on this planet is like winning the flipping divine lotto. And so we are very advanced souls to be so brave to go so far into the darkness. And where else would blues music come from?
Blues makes you feel good about feeling bad. So you're saying that we experience extreme levels of darkness and shadow here, so we can also it's like a polarity thing, so we can also feel the light when it comes in.
Yep. A calm sea never made a skilled sailor. And we're in a karmic tsunami on this flipping planet.
Yeah. It's totally true. And you talk a lot about saviors, you know, and this idea of savior, sinners and saviors. And can you explain a little bit about what those words mean to you? And
you betcha. Consider this. Every single religion has a savior of some sort, and every single one of them has come and gone. So every savior in our mythology has come and gone from every single religion has come and gone, and still we have suffering. Still our military spending is going up every year. If the saviors were the way we were saved, it would have happened by now. But it was never about the savior. The saviors aren't the ones that save us. The saviors are the ones showing us the way to save ourselves.
Right.
And there's a real beautiful story in that your life purpose is your pathway to salvation. And I use that word, salvation term very loosely.
So we might change the word savior to prophet or way shower, like they show us the way. And we might, I might translate the word, you know, salvation to enlightenment.
Awareness.
Yeah. Awareness, enlightenment. So those people that have gone before us, that their purpose wasn't to, in sort of the traditional Christian sense of the word savior, expunge all of the sin and take away all of your karma and pain so you can reach enlightenment in that moment. They're just which can't be done, right? We all have to walk our own path. But those people, you know, like we walk in their footprints, we walk in their steps behind them. Is that kind of more what you mean?
Well, sure. Like Jesus said, well, you're going to do everything I'm going to do. Come on, belly up to the bar. You're going to walk into the room and heal people by your presence. You're going to create food out of thin air. Any miracle I've done, you will do as well. So the way to heaven on earth, the notion of salvation, like some event in the future is going to make us whole with God, is baloney, because there was never a moment we weren't divinity itself. Our consciousness is an extension of source consciousness. God and I, or God and you, was never, ever, ever separate. So the idea that salvation, like somebody's going to put us back in good stead with God, is laughable.
And so what people can do to end their suffering is more what you were talking about, like working through these dense parts of their psyche, working through the pain that they're holding on to inside of themselves. And as we let go of each of these points of pain, of density, we come realigned back with God, back with the divine. Is that
sure?
Am I getting the gist of it?
Yeah. And don't take your suffering personally. I know that seems an odd thing to say, but karma is not personal. The principles of karma are timeless. If you're going through suffering, take a real big step back and look at your life from a soul's level and say, damn, I chose to go to the bottom of the barrel. I chose to go run on fumes. So I've got some really powerful life lessons to learn. If somebody's barely holding on to life, a hug can quadruple their energy.
Hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. So it reminds me sort of the importance of doing that kind of work, of doing service work, of giving the hug, of giving the smile, right?
Sure. Yeah. But as the healer, you are not responsible for anybody's condition, period, end of story, forever. You are not responsible. You're a vehicle. And if they choose to or they choose not to is not your concern. If they don't want to be healed, there's nothing you can do to heal them.
It took me a really long time as a healer to learn that. I've been working for about almost 30 years doing healing work. I started when I was 19 years old. And really, this is all I've done in my life, you know. The first phase of that time for me, I really felt responsible. And I would feel if they didn't get better, it was because I was a bad healer and they were supposed to get better. Like what even better is, you know, I don't even know what better is anymore, but it's taken me a long time to really, to shift that and see, you know, and sort of drop my agenda of what better is for people. Cause I don't know, they know, I believe my clients know, you know, their own path, and I can facilitate and help. Like healers were like good midwives, you know. The midwife helps you have the baby, but it's not having the baby for you. But it took me forever to figure that out.
As you clean out your personal energy persona, your power as a healer goes up. If there's some unresolved karmic stigma in your subconscious, you can't remove it from somebody else's.
Absolutely, the purer you make
your own personal energy persona, the more powerful of a healer you are. So,
psychics, we talk about clearing the channel, you know, like how do we are continually working on getting those parts out of us, because I think we can only bring our clients to where we have been ourselves.
Sure. But there's so much in the journey. I mean, people pray to Jesus or some other extremely powerful deity and say, come on, heal my ass, you know. And unconditional love will not, no being of unconditional love will reach into your psyche and wipe you clean, because your ego would freak out, because the life you see outside of you is the mirror of the karma inside of you. And if it were all to be turned around overnight, your ego would be scared to death. And so beings of love will not wipe you clean. Never in the mythology of humanity has a being wiped karma completely clean from a persona. Where it's like taking a kindergarten kid and sticking them up at the pulpit and giving them a PhD. It's who we become in the journey.
Yes.
My healing is me. I'm responsible for my healing, and certainly I can go to powerful healers and have a co-creative experience of raising the vibration of my consciousness. But ultimately, if I heal or not, it's an inside job.
So Les, how can people find your work, and tell us a little bit about the offerings that you have for people that want to know more about you and your work?
Sure. There's an ebook on newhumanliving.com called Personal Power Fundamentals. And on that webpage, you'll see a gas gauge. And one side will be power, and on the other side will be karma, and you'll see how directly they're related. And I suggest to you don't know squat about personal power until you can describe how the meter moves either up or down. Because how we take on karma and how we release it is fundamental to who we are as powerful personas on the planet. I also wrote Citizen King, which is how teaches your ego the joy and wonder it will feel if it follows the inspiration of your heart and your soul. That's a very powerful book. And my latest book, as you said, is Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior. If you were raised in traditional religion, they told you God was the power and God is not inside you. So for decades, you never saw yourself as a powerful person. So Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior is healing your relationship with God, the God within you now, so you can show up as a powerful, kick-ass, divine being of unconditional love and just hug the crap out of humanity until the vibration, the consciousness of the planet rises because of your presence, your existence on the planet. And then the last is... at lesjensen.com is a webpage that is a little more personal look at me. So newhumanliving.com is a great place. It's so easy to sign up for the newsletter there. And my books will help you understand what personal power is and how to ramp it up in your own persona.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for being, I'm sorry, we're out of time because I just feel like we could talk about this stuff forever. And I love your take on it. And your perspective is very cool, very clear, very clean. And I really appreciate you being on the show with me today.
Well, thank you, Lisa. I'm so delighted to be here.
Thank you guys all so much for joining me today on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time here on Empower Radio.